Make sure your cell phone's off. Anybody calls, it better be Jesus. Amen. So get hooked into the service, and God will bless you.
Well, it's a joy to be able to gather tonight again here under the tabernacle. Thank the Lord for the privilege to come together as we have tonight. I was thinking just a while ago when we were all fellowshipping together, this is something that's needed all across the country. I think every city, every community and town needs to have a place where the people can come together that believe the same and worship God. This is becoming a lost commodity across the land. I want to encourage you to protect what you've got. Please protect what you've got. The devil sure doesn't like when the people of God get together in this manner. And he will try to stifle it out in any way that he can. I know he can't do it from without, and he knows he can't do it from without. But he can get inside and do it. I remember back in the area where I'm from, 20 years ago, we had great fellowship among the churches. And there was a particular movement come to town. And a lot of fellows got involved in it, but that thing destroyed the fellowship among the preachers and the churches. And that's been 20 years ago, and it's never been repaired. So I beg you to protect what you've got. Protect that. And love one another. Amen. None of us are perfect. I don't see any halos or angel wings. None of us are perfect. We all have our quirks and our faults. But we can learn to live together, love one another, and worship God. Did you know God knows we're not perfect? He knows that. I wish some of us could get a hold of that also, that God knows we're not perfect. And I sure do appreciate the privilege together here in the under the pavilion tonight. I want us to open our Bibles to the Old Testament book of Nahum. Nahum chapter 1. You can stand if you'd like, and because you're going to anyway. We're going to look at Nahum chapter 1 and then a verse in Psalm chapter 86. Nahum chapter 1 and then a verse in Psalm chapter 86 for our thought tonight. Nahum, of course, is a preacher who preached to the same people who Jonah preached to, or the same nation, 150 years later. 150 years after Jonah, Nahum comes to Nineveh and preaches. Jonah came with a message of mercy and grace. They repented and got right. But 150 years later, Nahum comes to town and has no message of mercy. He got a message of judgment. And they tell us that 100 years after Nahum preached, Nineveh was no more. That's amazing, isn't it? I want to tell you, folk, God is interested in us hearing what He has to say. Not only getting right, but staying right with it. Amen. Notice in verse number 3, Nahum preaching says, "The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked." Now notice this statement. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. The clouds are the dust of His feet. Somebody said, "Boy, sure looks like there's a storm on the horizon." They just meet God moving around. Said the clouds are the dust of His feet. But notice Nahum said, the Lord hath his way. That's singular. Isaiah 55 said that God's ways, plural, are not our ways. We can't understand all of his ways. But Nahum said, the Lord hath his way, plural, in the whirlwind and in the storm. Notice, he hath his way in the storm. Notice Psalm 86 and verse number 11, please. The psalmist is praying here. And verse number 11, he is asking to enroll into the school of God. He says in verse 11, teach me thy way. There it is again, singular. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I do want to say that when you get in the family of God, you also enroll in the school of God. And God's not only our Father, but he's our teacher. And he's interested in schooling us in his way. Now, notice what Nahum said. Thy way is in the storm. And then David asked to be taught the way of the Lord. So we could put the two together and see that if you're going to know about a way of God, then there's going to be storms in your life. Now, I do want to say that I believe Nahum is referring to God, is having his way in the literal storms, in the hurricanes, in the typhoons, and the tornadoes. God hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. But I believe on the spiritual realm, I want to look tonight at how that God can teach us his way in the storms that you and I encounter. Now I want to preach on this thought for a few minutes tonight, storm schools. Let's ask God to help us. Father, thank you for the privilege of gathering tonight here under this pavilion. Thank you, Lord, for grace and goodness, for your love and kindness. Thank you for the good singing by the congregation and the choir. Thank you, Lord, tonight that you are God, and besides thee, there's none else. I pray you would arrange the atmosphere of this time together as you would so design. And I pray that every heart could be ministered to by the Holy Ghost. And if there are those here that's unsaved, I pray you'd bring them to the acknowledgement of yourself by the convicting power of the Spirit of God. Lord, you have assigned us to this portion tonight. And I pray you would give liberty as we share the Word of God. But Lord, greater than that, may some heart be touched and helped tonight. And for whatever is accomplished, you will get all of the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, this is a very elementary thought tonight, but I want to look at about three different storms that we have recorded in the Word of God. And in those storms, I believe that we can be taught the way of God. Nahum said the Lord's way is learned in the storm. And David said, teach me thy way, O Lord. I want to begin, of course, with the first storm that we have record of in the Word of God. Matter of fact, it is the first storm that ever came. And the first storm was the greatest storm that's ever been. And there's a promise from God that there'll never be another storm like it. Amen. You say, what are you saying? Well, I believe this. If you can survive your first storm, I believe the rest of them, you'll learn something about God in that first storm, and you'll learn something about the way of God, and it could be at the greatest storm in your life. But you'll learn that there's a God who's got His eye on us, and there's a God who is with us in the midst of our difficulties. I say hallelujah. I want to look tonight and talk just a moment about Noah's storm. At the storm that happened in Noah's day. My, what a storm that was. But I believe Noah, I believe we can learn some things about the way of God in Noah's storm. And learn a little bit about how that God works with His people that believe Him and trust Him. When the rest of the world is going to hell, I believe God can teach us about some things about a little family that's given themselves totally to God, and that God took care of them. Hallelujah. Can I say this? The storm in Noah's day, the storm was destroying everybody else, but it was protecting at that little family of God there in that ark. Hey, aren't you glad that I'd rather be in the ark when the storm comes than anywhere else. Amen. I'm glad there's a place secure. There's a place of safety. And that's in the arms of our God, especially when the storms are raging. Now, let's enter into the classroom with Noah for just a few minutes. And let's look at how Noah is schooled in the class for direction. Now, there's a lot of folk today that's looking for God's direction in their lives. Well, I want to say, friend, we can learn a little bit about how God moves us from one place to another. As we look at Noah, I got to meditating upon this, and I find that God told Noah to build him an ark. And because the rain was coming, and I see that Noah, on the word of God, began to do what God told him. And I want to tell you, he was glad he did when the storm came. Hey, it pays to be obedient to God before the storm comes. And when you're obedient to God, then there's protection in the storm. Amen. And I find here, think about this with me. Noah's ministry, his whole ministry, was down in the valley, down in the lowland, at preaching to people that didn't want to hear him. Amen. Noah spent the biggest majority of his life at building and battling and preaching the word of God. Second Peter said Noah was a preacher of righteousness. I believe there'd be a crowd line up around that ark, and they would scoff and mock at Noah. I believe he'd lay his hammer down, roll up his sleeves, and start preaching that there was a God that was going to send judgment. They turned a deaf ear to him, but Noah believed God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, friend, that God took care of Noah, and we need to understand the truth of that. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Let me say, he spent his whole ministry down in the valley, laboring and loving people that cared nothing for him, that wouldn't listen to him. I know a lot of preachers that's done the same thing. But I want you to listen to this. I got to thinking about it. God is wanting to get Noah to a higher plane than he's ever been before. God is wanting to exalt Noah. And you know what he does? He sends a storm. And the storm that's destroying everybody else, that storm is getting Noah higher and higher and docks him at a place where he has never been before. And it's a place higher than he's ever been. I tell you, man of God, somebody said, boy, I'm in a real storm. You stay with God. He may be taking you to a higher place than you've ever been before. I'm telling you, friend, God knows how to direct us, and sometimes he uses a storm to get us there. Noah couldn't get there by himself. Noah couldn't have pulled that boat up there. The only way that Noah and the ministry that God gave him could ever get off the ground was it would take a storm to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, storms is not always bad. Somebody said, I'm afraid it's going to take me under. Oh, it's according to where you're in or out of the ark. If you're out of the ark, the storm will take you under. But if you're in the ark, he'll take you to a higher plane than you've ever been before. I see old brother Noah in that ark. There's one thing about the ark, or there's several things about it. But there's one thing in particular. It had no steering wheel. Listen carefully. Noah's not driving that boat. But he doesn't know it, but he's going somewhere. And there's an unseen hand in the midst of that storm that's got a hold of Noah and his ministry, got a hold of Noah and that ark, and that unseen hand is maneuvering that boat right where he wants him to be. Is that not right? Y'all awake out there tonight. I know this is Monday the second week. I'm telling you, listen to what I'm saying. Somebody said, man, I tell you, it's tough where I am. Well, if God's put you there, you stay there. You're not driving anyway. Amen. There's another that's maneuvering us, and that's the God of glory. Oh, brother Noah, in that ark, didn't know if he's coming or going. That ark had no stern nor bow. The front looked just like the back. He didn't know if he's coming or going. Somebody said, I don't know if I'm coming or going. Well, God knew which way he was going. And God was maneuvering him right where he wanted him to go. Noah was in that ark, and God fixed it to where he couldn't look out and see where he was going. The only place he could look was up and see out. And guess what? He saw the storm a while, but Noah's the first one to see the sunshine again. Hey, he's in that ark, hallelujah. I'm telling you, he can only look up. And somebody said, boy, it's rough where I am. Look a little higher. Look a little higher. There's a God that's taking care of you. Hallelujah. Oh, brother Noah, in that ark, God, the storm is elevating him, and God is maneuvering him. And then God sticks him right on Mount Ararat. Noah was in the ark 1 year, and I believe my calculations are right, 1 year and 10 days. Matter of fact, chapter number 7 of Genesis, verse 11 said, in the second month, in the 17th day of the 600th year of Noah's life, Noah went in the ark. And it says in chapter 8, and verse number 13. And in the 601st year, in the first month, in the first day, then verse 14 said, and in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day, God said, Noah, I want you to leave the ark. So Noah's in the ark 1 year and 10 days. According to the Jewish calendar, and I know it wasn't irrelevant then, but I want to say, according to their calendar, he was in that ark 370 days. Somebody said, how did he stand it with all of them animals? Well, I learned something about that pitch that he used to pitch it within and without. That pitch that he used on the inside was an odor absorbent. Was God's first Febreze. So I said, I can't stand it in there with all of them. Oh, when it's maneuvered and when it's pitched with the grace of God, that's how we can stand one another now. It's the grace of God. Did you know in that ark was a miniature millennial kingdom? It's where the lion lay down with the lamb. It's where everything got along. I tell you, way back there in the beginning, God let us know how it was going to be out yonder in the end. Hey, I'm just simply saying, God fixed it for Brother Noah in that ark. But the best that I can figure, Noah was moving 157 days. He was moving because the Bible plainly gives us the month and the days that he was moving, and it tells us the very day that he stuck him on Mount Ariak. Well, guess what? He was moving 157 days. That means he was stuck longer than he was moving. In other words, storm's over. You need to listen to me. The storm is over, and he's not moving anymore. He's not going forward or backward. He's stuck, but he still can't get out of the ark. Why? Because if he'd have got out of the ark then, he would have been stuck. Because if you get a storm like Noah's got, you're going to have a lot of mud involved. And God stuck him to keep him from getting stuck. Somebody said, I feel like we're stuck. God may have you stuck to keep you from getting stuck. And you don't need to exit what God's given you. You don't, and why am I preaching this, I don't know. But you don't need to exit until you get another word from God. Just because you're not moving don't mean you're out of the will of God. And Noah was stuck. If he'd have got out of the ark, all he could have done was sling mud. You could put this down, preachers that's in the mud slinging business have got out of the ark too quick. Hey, just let me say this right here. I'm a nobody. But there's one thing about it. There's a crowd of going across the country today. I'm telling you, they're cutting the sheep of God to bits, leaving them for the wolves to eat. I want you folk to know that don't know me, I ain't part of that. I'm going to tell you, friend, we got enough devils to fight. There's enough problems without having it inside the church. I'm telling you, we need to understand that the people of God need help in these days. And old brother Noah, he's stuck. And I can see him pacing back and forth. Honey, boy, I'd say, Miss Noah, now I don't know what went on in the ark. But I kindly know people. And he's probably saying, honey, wonder why we can't get out. She says, well, I don't know, honey. What did the Lord say? What did he say to you the last time, honey? Come in. was the last word, honey, that the Lord said to you. Come in. Has he said anything about going out? Can't get a word. Can't get a word. I'm just stuck. Oh, hey. You know, hey, listen. There's a lot of preachers. Man, hey, there ain't but 20 of us here tonight. But there's a lot of preachers in these days. They've went where God sent them. They're there. Now they're stuck. And now they're wanting God to tell them to stay. You're not going to get a word from God to stay where he's told you to be. He didn't, Noah didn't get another word from God until he told him to go forth. So I say, well, I'm wanting God to tell me to stay. If he told you to go, that's the last word you're going to get about that. If he told you to be there, that's the last, how did I get here? But that's the last word that you're going to get. Because the last thing he said until he says something else is still what he wants you to do. There's been too many of us kicked the side of the door out of the ark and got out and got stuck. And we wish we were stuck again where we were before. I'd rather be stuck in the ark than stuck out of it. Now the other one's going to be just a little better than this one, the other storms. But listen, here Noah, God stuck him. What we're doing, we're in the classroom with Noah learning about the direction of God. And Noah was stuck. But he waited on God. He couldn't see. All he could do was trust the dove. You'll get that in a few minutes. He couldn't trust that raven because he never did come back. All he could do was trust the dove. The dove was one that was moving around, seeing whether it was dry enough or not. The dove's a picture of the Holy Ghost of God. Woo! Oh, and every now and then the dove will bring you in a plucked off olive leaf, let you know that it is getting better than it was. Amen. And Noah now trusting the dove, and then God says, Noah, I want you to go forth. And he did. Now listen to me, and I'm going to move off of this point here. Noah built something else that we never hear talked about. Noah built an ark, but he also built an altar. Verse number 20 of chapter 8. And Noah built an altar. Whoo! He didn't have an altar down in the lowland. All he had down there was a building project. But when he got to a higher plane, the first thing he built was an altar. Oh, Lord. And God directed Noah. And gave him a new beginning, gave him a new burden, and gave him a brand new behavior. Somebody said he got drunk. I ain't interested in that tonight. I'm just trying to tell you that Noah got to a higher plane than he ever had been before. And it was a storm that got him there. Lord, give me direction. And he said, I'm going to send you a storm to get you there. Whew. I know what I'm talking about personally. God ain't never exalted me. No, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I can tell you how storms can get you to a higher position than you've ever been with God. Ooh. So there's something going on in my soul right here. Some of you tonight are wondering how you're going to survive. I'm telling you, if you're safe in the ark, you can't keep but surviving. God's going to take care of you. I want us to leave this one. I want us to go to another storm. Go with me to the book of Jonah just a moment. We went to Genesis and we rode the ark with Noah for a while. And we sit in the classroom when no one was schooled in direction. But now I want us to enter into another storm with Jonah and sit in the classroom and learn about his way for being disobedient. About the damage it does when you get on a wrong ship. Now, none of the rest of you may not sense it, but I don't know much, and I don't know when the Holy Ghost is stirring around. He's here tonight. Somebody said, I don't sense it. Well, I'm glad I got your part of it. He's here tonight. Listen very carefully. I see Brother Jonah. Jonah was a good man. God called on him to preach. He hadn't disqualified himself. He was a man that had a message. God called on him to preach. And he wouldn't. God said to Jonah, I want you to arise. Well, he did. Verse number 2, God said, arise. Verse number 3, the Bible said, and Jonah rose up. Now he was partially obedient. Somebody said, well, just as long as I'm a little obedient. No, you can be just a little disobedient and get in a mess. Amen. Amen. And Jonah arose up. God said in verse 2, I want you to go to Nineveh. And he arose up and to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And I want you to get this. I'll not labor long here. But I see Jonah. God's moving in his heart. And he says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, that wicked city. And Jonah said, I'll go, but not to Nineveh. And he went, but he went in a roundabout way. He ended up in Nineveh. But it took a storm to get him there. Now, here's something I learned in studying this. Right here is where Jonah is. Nineveh is westward, back over across the mountain range. Tarshish is straight across the Mediterranean. He's going nearly in the opposite direction than what God told him to go. But here's the key. If he had left where he was and went to Nineveh, he would have had to cross all of those mountain ranges to get there. But here's what I learned. The best way to go to Nineveh is to go down to Joppa, where Jonah went. Catch a boat, go north about 140 or 50 miles, get off there, and it would be like an interstate right down to Nineveh. Jonah knew the quickest way to Nineveh. And when he went to Joppa, he had to go to Joppa regardless. Here's what I began to understand. Anytime God has a will for you, Satan will always have another ship backed up alongside the will of God. And I can assure you, Tarshish bound ship look better than the northern bound ship. Because you study in the Word of God, that's where all the riches come from, was from Tarshish. Did you know God never sent anybody to Tarshish? You study in the Word of God, God never sent anybody to Tarshish. And matter of fact, most ships never got there. Solomon had a whole fleet that was headed to Tarshish and was broken in Rogel. A whole fleet of ships on the way to Tarshish and never made it. Jonah never made it. And if you're headed to Tarshish, you probably ain't going to make it. One thing, God don't have a word in Tarshish. Never was a prophet sent to Tarshish that I can find in the Bible. But yet that's where all the pleasure and the pomp was. But there wasn't no preaching. And if you're headed to Tarshish out of the will of God, you're probably not going to make it. Now get the picture. Jonah arose and went to Joppa. Had to go to Joppa regardless. And boarded a ship going to Tarshish. I believe both ships were sitting along the same dock. And the distance between the will of God for Jonah and the will of Satan for Jonah was one step. Somebody said, well, he got on a ship. Yeah, but God didn't tell him to get on a ship. He sending him somewhere. Somebody said, well, I got on this ship and we ain't going nowhere. Listen, Jonah got on the ship, headed to Tarshish. I believe the Tarshish bound ship and the Nineveh bound ship pulled out at the same time. One went that way and one went this way. There was no storm in the forecast. The jet stream had not even been contacted. There was no storm. Sunny skies was in the forecast. But Jonah, out of the will of God, headed in the wrong direction on a ship. God, in verse 4, sent out a great wind. Didn't need the jet stream to cause it. God is the jet stream. And God sent out a great wind. That tells me it was undetected. Nobody knew it was coming. But here's the key. Jonah got on that ship, and the whole ship entered the storm. Because one man on it was out of the will of God. The whole ship had to go through the storm because one man got on the wrong ship. Boy, it pays to be obedient. Listen. That ship headed to Tarshish, but it didn't make it. As far as we know. Here's something I thought about, and I thought about a lot of churches. The Bible says that those mariners unloaded all of their goods trying to salvage the ship. See, they loaded up back here at Joppa. Enough goods to make the trip to Tarshish. But one man got on their ship out of the will of God and they lost all of their goods. I've often wondered when the storm ceased after they got rid of Jonah. When the storm ceased, I wondered how they made the rest of the trip with no goods. There's a lot of churches trying to paddle their way on in because they've been somebody got on out of the will of God and they've lost all their goods to make the trip. And now they're suffering. Y'all understanding any of this? Oh, listen to what I'm saying. God teaching us that it pays to be obedient. Don't enter the classroom and learn about disobedience in the way of God. Now, I'm a preaching tonight. I don't know if you know that or not, but I know it. There's a certain area I preach in. I go there a lot. A lot of churches in the area. There's one particular family when I first started going. I preached to them at one particular church. I went back to the area about 6 months later on a Sunday morning. There was that family in that church, and I preached to them in that church. I went back to the area about a year and a half later, and there was that same family over here in another church. And I asked him, I got to become friends with him, and I asked him, I said, what's the matter with all the churches? And he started naming them, and I just said to him, sir, I don't really think it's the churches. I really think it's you that's got the problem. Needless to say, I've been going back for 15 years and hadn't seen him anymore. But simply what I'm saying, hey, if you get on the wrong ship, it's a dangerous thing. God may send a storm. It pays to know the will of God about the ship that you're on. Noah went out on a ship, came back in a submarine. No steering wheel. No way to look but up. One hole in the top. Didn't know if he's coming or going. Amen. Amen. It pays to be obedient. I got two more points. I'm skipping the third one, going to the last one. The last one. I want you to get this. I felt a nudge this afternoon as I was praying and meditating on this particular point. Acts 27. What a storm. And it wasn't as bad as Noah's storm. But it's a pretty bad storm. Tore a ship up. But Paul, now, Paul is on this ship. I want you to listen. We're going to enter into the classroom with Paul and learn about discernment in a storm. What to say and what to do in a storm. And here's the key. This storm was sent for Paul. Paul is not the reason for this storm. Matter of fact, if they had listened to Paul, they could have missed this storm. I got to thinking about that. Some of you tonight, you're in a storm, but the storm is not yours. And if they had listened to you, they wouldn't be in the storm. But because you love them, it may be a child, it may be a good friend, it may be a grandchild. And because they wouldn't listen, now they're in a storm and you're tied to them by love's strong cord and you're dragged into their storm like Paul was dragged into this storm. Paul got on as prisoner, but the storm made him captain. Are you listening? Paul got on as prisoner, But the storm made him captain. And God arranged that for Paul to be able to give a word in their storm. And because of the words of Paul, every man survived the storm. Paul was dragged into the storm. The storm wasn't sent because of Paul. The storm was coming regardless. Granddad, grandmama, you tried to tell that grandchild. You tried to warn them. And they disregarded. Now they're in a storm. And you're dragged into their storm because you love them so. Daddy, mama, you tried to tell that boy. You tried to warn them. You knew if they kept going the way they were going, a storm was coming. But they disregarded you. They paid no mind. They went their own way. And now they're in a storm. And you're in it with them. God has allowed that to happen. Because you now, let me say it this way, they wouldn't listen before, like those men wouldn't listen to Paul. But when the storm gets strong enough, they'll turn an ear to you. They'll listen. They may not act like it, but they're listening. Oh, Lord. Somebody said, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell them, bless God if they don't. No, no, no. You're the only channel now that God has to get a word to them. Paul was the only channel in that ship, in that storm, that God could get a word to those that was in that storm that wouldn't listen. Now in that storm, because you're dragged into it, there's a channel that God can get a word to them. Don't give them a piece of your mind. Try somehow to adopt the mind of Christ and give a word to them. It may be the means of their not being ruined in the end. What did Paul do? Well, the first thing he did, he got along with God. And he got down on his knees. And the storm was a-raging. And guess what? The Lord showed up. And he said, Paul, everything is going to be all right. Tell them that if they'll stick with the ship, they're going to make it all right. Amen. And guess what? That's exactly what Paul did. He kept on praying and he kept on giving a word. I don't understand. All I need to know about this, the storm's been raging for 14 days, but somehow or another, Paul found some fresh bread. And the Bible said that Paul broke the bread and he gave it to them. And they had a little cheer in their heart. I'm telling you, you're the only one that God can get a little bread to them in the midst of the storm. God's got you in there to be that channel. Now let me say this. I'm done now. I'm about done. See, it's early. I live in Central Time Zone. No. Here's the key. You know the why the prodigal came home in Luke 15? You know why the prodigal came home? Daddy didn't finance the far country for him. The reason the prodigal got right and come home, Daddy didn't send him no more money. Now, my old grandpa told me, said, if you plow on new ground, and I've done that with a horse. He said, if you hit a stump, back up and hit it again. He said, keep hitting it. It'll come out after a while. So I said, well, I love them. I know this is hard love, what I'm preaching. This is difficult love. The reason the prodigal came home is that he got hungry. And Daddy, somebody said, well, his daddy didn't know his condition. Oh, yeah, his daddy had been keeping up with him. How do you know? Well, he had shoes and a ring and a robe to fit him when he got back home. He'd been keeping up with him. He knew about him. He knew that boy was in a mess. He knew that boy was in trouble. But hard love keeps you from feeding money to him. If Daddy'd have kept feeding money to him, he'd have never come home. He'd have died in the far country. Oh, Lord. But I'm telling you, there's a time when you have to say no. But there's also a time when you continue to give them what God's given you to give them. Keep telling them. They'll listen. They'll listen. Storm schools. Storm schools. We go to Noah's classroom and find out about direction. We go to Jonah's and find out about disobedience. We go to Paul's and find out about discernment. Please hear me. Please hear me. There's some folk tonight need to do business with God. I believe in all three areas of this message. I spend most of my ministry preaching revivals. I preach revivals. I'm not a camp meeting man. All I know how to do is just preach to the church, but I reckon that's who's here tonight. Oh, please. These days are to help us. And I know you've done been helped. Please hear me. Storms are coming. You need to know why. When you get there, why is it here? Let's stand, please.